Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another edition of Just Ball Things. This is a worldwide edition because we have Mr. Worldwide himself over in the United States of America. The J-Man, Jack Manuel, how are you?
Swell, mate. I'm swell as always. This is might be the third time we've recorded. I've recorded from New York.
It doesn't happen too often. We love it when you do.
We did it last season.
We did. We even did a podcast when we were both in London, both in Manchester. Even fun. we did a Manchester episode. Yes. That was good. We've travelled a little bit for this not for the podcast, mate. If only that's the dream. That's the goal. Subscribe. It is the dream, five stars, and we'll get there.
Yes,
Jackie, Mr. Worldwide, traveling very nicely there. My name is Nick Busink, and mate, I don't think the Disney Corporation is too happy with us at the moment.
Well,
this Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse franchise has got it out for us.
Well, one of their employees, Kendrick Perkins of ESPN, did not like my comments because he was besmirching my lord Kyrie Irving, and he was like, and I'm like, you're one of the worst. I said, like, oh, Kendrick Perkins is one of the worst like media commentators. He's like, you're not supposed to like me. It means I'm doing my job. I'm like, all right, Perk, that's cool. Yeah, he did spell some words wrong. Yeah. It was fine. It was nice. I didn't respond back. I'm like, Y-O-U-R instead of Y-O-U-R-E. He was, but, you know, it's cool. I've now been called out by two former big men, one in Andrew Bogut, one in Kendrick Perkins. And then earlier in the week, I was one of our topics that we are going to be speaking about in terms of Kyrie Irving through Stephen A. Smith. I posted the video, and that was immediately taken down. And it was thanks to the Disney Corporation. So everyone needs to boycott Disney Plus.
Mate, I think getting a video taken down from the Disney Corporation, I think, you know, I'm playing it right now. We have made it. I'm playing those air horn sounds, yep. Mate. We've made it. Yep. We're big enough to actually be taken down by Disney. Go us.
Bang.
Go us. Go you.
Yes.
Go you, Jack.
It's a big moment. Big moment for us, mate. Big moment. But it's been a massive week in basketball. So you do that blanter. You do that plug so we can get into some BMS.
Will do. All right, let's get this business out of the way, shall we? You can contact us on Twitter at TheJManJBT or myself. I'm plugging it this time, Jack. You know why?
Yeah?
I got some followers during last week. I think I'm at I think I'm at 65 now, but I counted four followers this week, which means I lost two. So let's disregard that. Some bots definitely got deactivated. Thank you, Twitter. At JBT Nick is myself. We're also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. They've got an awesome podcast network. You recorded a Brooklyn Buzz today, Jackie Boy. So always content coming out there. And a news website where you can keep up to date with all things NBA. Make sure you give them a follow on Twitter as well, at OTG Basketball. We've got some merch through OTG, designtree.com/offtheglass. That's DSGN. tree.com/offtheglass. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/justballthings. Give us a like and a follow there. And as always, you can hit us up on jbtpodcast@gmail.com for any questions, queries, concerns, anything, even a DBM. DBM? Yeah, DBM. Deep and meaningful. DNM. I'm getting my acronyms mixed up. Let's move on, Jack.
DBM.
SNM. Let's get on to this, shall we? The BMS. All the different acronyms coming out.
That's the acronym we want to talk about.
For those of you who are new, this is a great start. This is a JBT created scale. That sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale it from alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or just straight up fact. Now, Jackie Boy has done the lovely thing and made this podcast the most audio-heavy podcast. The one podcast he is not here. So let's get right into this first one, shall we? This one's regarding Anthony Davis's pending free agency.
I mean, obviously, you know, there's nothing like playing playing at home. I don't know. I am a free agent next year, but what does that mean?
Next question.
We'll see.
Young man,
right? Davis, mate, what are you doing? What is he doing, Jack? He's just stirring the pot. He's.
You know what it reminds me of, Nick?
Tell me.
It reminds me of Kyrie Irving at the start of the season for Boston last year, but I mean, it doesn't necessarily matter. It's very strange because this is a late addition to the BMS. It was literally while I was at the Barclays Center and I got the notification. I'm like, all right, Nick, we're talking about this to start off our podcast. And Nick, Anthony Davis will be in Chicago uniform in 2020-2021.
Oh, God. This is an alternative fact. I am that far negative, mate. Obviously, he's a Chicago boy and he mentioned that, you know, everyone's talking about playing at home. I think he's too much of a guy that's just like, so many other stars have made the previous mistake. It's just like saying no or yes, or, you know, I'm staying or I'm going, and then they do whatever, the opposite of that. I think it's very non-committal. It's very much a, you know, you never know what's going to happen in 2 years. I am a free agent, you know, anything's a possibility. I am positive if he was at Phoenix and the Phoenix Suns asked him that. The Phoenix Suns are balling right now, so it wouldn't surprise me. It's like, hey, I'm taking this is my next chapter, the Phoenix Suns. I seriously feel that if any other city would have asked that question, he should have responded, I'm not talking about my free agency in 2 years. But I think it was a little bit of leniency because it was his hometown.
Yeah, I think as well, you know, there's always going to be a camera around at these sort of events, so he has to be sort of careful with his words.
That.
Yeah, he does.
He has to know that, though.
I'm going to give it Twitter. The Lakers are balling right now. You know, one of the number one teams in the NBA, number one in defensive rating. Anthony Davis and LeBron James have this insane chemistry. Dwight Howard, we'll get to him a little bit later in the show as well. I'm going to give it Twitter, Nick, because I think there's always some sort of credence. You know, LeBron and Cleveland, you know, he sort of set the standard, the new role model for Anthony Davis. Maybe he wants to go back home as well. Yes, I know that. He was drafted there, but it is also his hometown. I don't think it's going to happen at all. But in terms of the teams that, you know, he could go to in free agency, it could happen. But it is very unlikely. So, I mean, I'd go an alternative Twitter or like alt Twitter if that was available on the scale. But, you know, I know Chaz and some other Bulls fans will be hoping we were a bit strong on it. But, you know, the Lakers are going so well now, and I doubt Rob Pelinka and the front office there would have given up their treasure trove of assets if it was just for one season. You know, Brandon Ingram was balling tonight for the Pelicans. So, yeah, it's closer to alternative, but I think there has to be some sort of credence to it because he said it.
Yeah, I guess. I feel like it was more of a, hey, I don't want to, you know, let... Like, maybe he does plan to end his career at Chicago. That's why he didn't completely take it off the table.
That's fair.
But we're talking about prime Anthony Davis in 2 years. Maybe the Bulls timeline will, you know, meet up with Davis in 2 years. You know, they've got some good young talent in Kobe White and Lauri Markkanen there, and you know, maybe people was pouting them as being playoff bound this year. Obviously, it has not started well.
It has not.
But maybe in 2 years they can be pushing for that playoff spot, and it's an appealing destination for Anthony Davis. But you know, that is to be seen, mate. I'm glad that we're similar on that one. It's not often we agree. Next one here, my boy James Harden. We're real close. His shooting woes are a bit of a talking point right now. So let's take a listen.
They were obviously really focused on taking away your threes.
No, I mean, they didn't. I just had a lot of opportunities where, you know, the three ball hasn't been going, you know, for me. But I'm going to still continue to shoot. Was here, you know, yesterday, this morning was here shooting. So I'm not worried about it. Like, those are great shots. Those shots that I've been taking the last couple of years. So even if, you know, teams are trying to take the three ball away, I'm going to still shoot him.
So James Harden is not concerned at all about the shooting woes. But, mate, I pose you this one. James Harden's shooting woes are a concern for the Rockets and their lofty aspirations.
Oh, this is a flat-out fact, Nick. They have been struggling immensely. I'm going to keep shouting out my travel experiences. Got to see them live against the Brooklyn Nets. And James Harden was piss poor, let's put it bluntly. And then he was equally, he was okay against the Miami Heat, but, you know, Russell Westbrook wasn't. He's shooting 21.5% from three this season. He is shooting over 10 attempts. Is it 10 attempts? No, 13 attempts per game from the three-point line. It is. I think he's missed more than, like, some people have even taken. It is a massive concern, Nick, because if James Harden doesn't make his shots, their offense is just almost, you know, it's just too easy to guard. You know, they don't have wings that can attack. You know, Russell Westbrook gives them a different dimension in the open court and in transition. But, you know, he's obviously a much worse three-point shooter than Chris Paul is and was for that system. So it is a massive, massive worry for me, Nick. And I'm sort of more confident in my factor that they won't get a home court advantage if they keep playing the way that they are. And James Harden is certainly needs to turn around and turn it around quickly.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's been Harden's sort of forte the past few years has been really his efficiency. Because he's so goddamn efficient at the line, and that has not changed. He is averaging up to 16 free throws per game.
Jesus.
Hitting 16 per game, Jack. It's hitting
he's
him
shooting
at 96%.
96%. That is, I mean, we could use a guy like him. The Nets have been struggling with their free throws, but yeah, I think I remember seeing
but
a stat.
What's damning, Jack, is that he is shooting. He's shooting at 37% on the field. He's averaging 35 points a game.
He's still leading the league, I think, in scoring, isn't he?
I don't know if he's. I don't know if he's leading the league. I'd have to suss that out.
He was at one point.
Like it is. It's quite insane.
He is, by the way.
Seeing him average the amount of points. So there you go. Seeing him average the amount of points that he is on such an inefficient shooting. It's just because his game is at the line, and it seems to be exacerbated even more this year. I'm giving this one a fact. Harden is the heart and soul of this team. He is the core, and if he plays well, I believe the Rockets win the game. Exhibit A today against the Grizzlies, won by 7 points. He put up 44 on 42%, 43% from three, and 72% from the line.
So, in terms
43,
of,
like 7 of 16 from 3 is incredible, but...
Oh, it's great.
You know.
In terms of everything that is happening within the Houston Rockets right now, we know the turmoil. I spoke about it on the NBA outlet as well. Make sure to subscribe to that and this on iTunes. In terms of where James Harden's woes, Nick, and the problems within Houston, is that the number one thing? So you're saying to me that it is the biggest issue, so James Harden's form has to be the be-all and end-all for this Houston Rockets team to be successful?
I think that was the case coming into the season altogether.
Okay.
Like,
What about Russ, though? I pegged him to have...
I think given that, I guess I'd have to look at James Harden's usage, but the role that James Harden has on this team is far greater than any other player on this team. Like, there was... I can't remember
who it was against, or any team.
But, like... Yeah, like Harden's role could have been. I mean, I'd argue that LeBron James has been low key paramount to the Lakers' success so far, only because Anthony Davis is there. But in terms of like without Harden, what's the differential with and without Harden for the Rockets? And I believe that it is quite significant. There was a game that Westbrook carried them, and I was very impressed. I've actually been slightly impressed with Westbrook this season, which is sort of like a real revelation for me to truly appreciate Russell Westbrook.
It was funny, Nick. I'll give you a bit of a story on Russell Westbrook because I was at the game, like I mentioned before, and Kevin Durant was sitting on the bench, and Russ was chirping a little bit, and Theo Pinson, for those who don't know, one of the bench guys for the Nets, loves to chat as well and loves to dance. And when Westbrook would come down and miss a shot, Theo Pinson would stand up and start clapping and yelling, and I could see it. Like, I was pretty close to the bench, so it was a pretty fun experience to see the fact that the Westbrook and KD rivalry is still alive and well somehow.
It's I mean, I don't think that'll ever die. I feel like it'll be like they'll be deep into retirement and they'll be with canes on the street and they'll start hitting each other. I feel like these both of these men are extremely proud men. And it might not take until retirement until they realize, you know, good for you, man. Like, you went and you left and you won championships and you really established yourself, and then, you know, then to the flip side, KD might be like, you know, I respect you for playing and sticking it out and for as long as you did.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure a mutual respect will come out of it eventually.
Exactly. A mutual respect for a person you have, I'm sure, Nick, maybe not as much because he's doing good things for another team, is Dwight Howard. And Nick, given recent performances, the Lakers need to start Dwight Howard. What you got?
God. Where was this in freaking Washington? My God. If anything, this is just like extra salt in the wounds at how poorly our organization is run. I guess it helps. It may not be an organizational standpoint. It could just be a player base. Obviously, it's don't have players like LeBron James. I don't think it is health, though. Like, Sorry. That's not true. He is looking in the best shape of his life.
Nice hair as well.
And he was, yes, for sure. And he is extremely, obviously he doesn't have his doesn't have his butt problem. He doesn't have his transvestite problem. I mean, I feel like that's a forever problem.
It's not even a problem. It's just an issue. Yeah.
It's Dwight. But the personnel, I believe, in Lakers has sort of pushed him and driven him to the point where he is now. I mean, you don't half-ass it alongside LeBron James. You don't half-ass it when your team is on the cusp of a championship. The Wizards were never there, so I don't think the motivation for Dwight Howard was not even close to being the same. And you can see that in the way that he's playing, the defensive juggernaut he is starting to become back to. Like, I think he's averaging, like, fifth highest in blocks per game. Like, 2.3 blocks per game so far. Just as an interior guy off the bench, and I think that's the key here. It's off the bench. He's not averaging many. He's not averaging many minutes. I think in terms of like an ego thing, he's accepted this role. He's embraced it, and don't knock with what doesn't work. What works.
Yeah,
you know. We've seen Dwight start playing in the final minutes of games, which is very refreshing. And obviously, I have no doubt that Anthony Davis is loving playing alongside a center, especially in those clutch times. Obviously, he starts with JaVale. But I think that just off the bench, and should the Lakers start Dwight Howard, this is an alternative fact.
Okay,
I'm going hard alternative.
Fair enough. It's been one way or another on the spectrum today, but I'm going to get to some listeners and some comments on Facebook before I give my take. And via Lane Snyder, start him. He has a higher B-ball IQ than McGee. Keep Kuzma coming off the bench for bench scoring. We have Calvin Armour. I wouldn't change it, but the Lakers should only consider that when Rondo and Kuz are fully back to being healthy and themselves. Michael Hall Jr. has a similar take to you, Nick. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I would keep it the way it's been working. Very true. It's right. Alvarez Richard, hell no. He needs to come off the bench. That second unit needs all the help it can get. When Rondo comes back, they should move Avery Bradley to the second unit to help it out. So, and I'll get to a couple more before we react to some of these. If it's not broke, don't fix it again, from Charles Ingleton. Howard is doing better than he has in years. Let him stay where he is. JaVale goes down, then you can consider moving him up. I don't mind that either. Aaron Zamaripa. I'm sorry if I got that wrong, mate. Plus, Dwight has gone in foul trouble somewhat often for the amount of minutes that he does play. So more minutes could increase the risk of him fouling out. And Darius Brandon Lee, stay Howard. He might win six man of the year. I'll end on that one. That is a take and a half, and I think we'd have to spend a couple of minutes speaking about that. But Nick, I'm torn on this. I'm probably going to go Twitter because I think Dwight, I like the it's not broke, don't fix it from some of our listeners, some of our commenters, and what you're saying as well. But if Dwight Howard's playing better, he's going to force himself into the starting lineup. You know, McGee is, you know, okay. Dwight Howard, I think, has a greater defensive ceiling, and it's the he's a big part of the reason why the Lakers are first in defense. I think the number one reason is that LeBron James is playing some of the best defense he's played in maybe a season or two. And Anthony Davis doesn't hurt having a Defensive Player of the Year candidate on your team too. But yeah, I'm probably closer towards you guys. You know, I don't think that he is, you know, knocking the door down. It's only been a couple of games. So I would probably continue things as they are, but I think that if he keeps playing the way that he is, he's going to force himself into that starting lineup, my friend.
I'm not sure that should be considered. Like, if he keeps playing the way that he is, it's because he's playing against a certain type of people,
playing
a certain type of minutes, and when those minutes are played, they all come into this big conglomerate of what
conglomerate.
It's a great bloke. Word.
He's still using big words, and I'm not even in his room.
It's culminated into this Dwight that we see now, and I think if you start messing with that, not to the point where if it's not broke, fix it. But if it's not broke, don't change it. I don't know the expression.
If it's if it's working, then let it keep
don't
working.
Don't have to change it. Yeah, exactly. We've completely butchered this, but whatever. Teams will change the way that they play if Dwight Howard is absolutely mauling them, and okay. I think it gives teams a lot more of a chance to influence Dwight Howard's play if he starts. If he's banging up against best units, just because Dwight might be your best center does not mean you have to start him. You know, the Hampton Five never started games. You know, it was always Zaza or Bogut or, you know, all of those types.
Yep, that's fair, Nick.
It's about closing the game.
Yep. I'm not sure how you're going to do this with the audio, mate, but we got Stephen A. Smith for Brooklyn Bits.
The fact of the matter is, what does Kyrie Irving do exactly? What are people trying to say? This dude is a superstar basketball player. Right now, he's averaging 37, 6, and 5, for crying out loud, for the Brooklyn Nets. He shows up to the team that he wanted to play for opening night and drops 50. This brother is a showman. He puts on a show. Doesn't get in any trouble with the law or anything like that. So what's your real issue with him?
So Stephen A, as always, had some stuff to say. So let's introduce that funky music of Brooklyn Bits. Hey, Jack.
Yeah.
Woo.
Woo, woo, woo. I couldn't do it.
Woo, woo. I know you can't hear it. This is your stuff. All right, Jack. Stephen A. Smith has been quoted calling Kyrie Irving a problem is utterly ridiculous. Do you side with Mr. Steve-O or not?
Always, mate. Always. How can Kyrie Irving be a problem when he is one of the top scorers in the NBA? He scored 39 points for us. He scored 50 points against the Minnesota Timberwolves on opening night. And I've spoken at length on the Brooklyn Buzz. Again, I speak about him. We do post-game recaps. So, again, I spoke about him with Nick tonight. And seeing him in person is like, for those that don't follow me on Twitter, at the JMNJBT, I'm like, watching him is like watching a religious experience. It is something else. And yes, there are always going to be questions. And there was a post on Twitter, I'm not sure if you saw it, Nick, but I'm sure some of our listeners did, where Kyrie was barking a little bit at DJ for not, you know, giving the dribble handoff a little more elevation, and Joe Harris for not being in the right spot. I mean, I got angry at him for the Joe Harris thing, because Joe Harris should never be argued with. He is a god and a saint. But I think Kyrie Irving just has high standards, and I respect the having the high standards. I've liked his leadership so far, and he is bringing the guys along with him. You know, you look at what him and Caris LeVert are doing as a backcourt duo, they are dominating. So I think it is a bit ridiculous, and obviously this comes from the ESPN article where he was a little bit moody, didn't want to take off his hat, and the Nets fan, the Nets, you know, brass are worried about it, blah, blah, blah. It's a storm in a teacup, my friends, and, you know, if he keeps doing what he's doing on the court, then just let's just get over it. It seems to me a lot of this stuff comes from Celtics fans and Celtics media anyway.
For sure, I believe that they have, and New York media have obviously, mm-hmm, we're always going to cast this big shadow over Irving, but I think the it might be because of the slow start of the Nets, yeah. 3-4 now, but obviously 2-4 before they handed Pelicans before you guys dropped 135 points on the Pelicans. Also letting go 125, but that's a conversation for a different story, for a different time. I think the big personality that Kyrie is, and it, which is evident on the court, and I firmly believe he's got a big case of white line fever. I'm caught between two camps on this one because I want to believe that it's nothing. I don't like the hyperbole. I know me, not liking hyperbole. It's crazy. But like, I don't want to read into this too much, obviously. But they're obviously very damning videos on the court. This guy coming
not
into
damning,
a new
club.
I think they are. This guy coming into a new club and commanding these things. He did the same thing at the Celtics, obviously had a very high expectation on his young guys, and then that backfired. It obviously is all dependent on I believe Coach Kenny's approach to this, obviously maybe diffusing anything that's potential there, and obviously on the other players to heed his advice, his learnings, his teachings, whatever you want to call it. And it's all dependent on the other players, on how they react to this, because if they take the Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown approach, then it's going to start imploding. Because I think what he's doing at the Celtics is very similar to what he's doing at at Brooklyn. It's just, I believe that the Nets have the malleability and the strength to be able to weather that. So I think it will be a good fit. If the Nets were 5-1, then I don't think this conversation comes up. But fair, it has cool. been the lackluster play. I mean, who was it against? Was it against the Grizzlies or the Mavs?
The Pistons?
The Pistons.
Pacers, and Grizzlies. All of our losses, we've only lost them by small margins. So, like you mentioned, Nick, you know, the conversation could be very different. But
for sure.
At the end of the day, you know, wins are what matters. Wins, you know, mask all over all of the bad things that are happening. But, you know, if you, again, more Nets talk, you know, subscribe to the Book and Buzz on iTunes. But we'll get to a man who definitely does not like Kyrie Irving. And Nick, that is Bill Simmons. What's he got to say?
Bill Simmons, the Doncic/Young trade was
Nick,
a win-win for both sides.
This is what I was going to just play the video, mate. That's what I was. It's hard for you and me on the other side of the world, but that I was trying to point you in that direction.
We'll get there, mate. We'll let the people ponder, and then we'll play the video. Okay, all right.
I'm the host
here. This is my playground. let's play the video.
Yes, sir.
But what they ended up with was pretty great. So it is one of, I think we have a chance maybe to look at this down the road as like one of these trades where both sides just feels really good about what they got. Cause there's something about Trae Young in Atlanta that makes sense. And I can't figure it out because not since Dominique has they had a guy that just seems to fit with the city they've had. They've had a lot of weird stars, right? Like they had Mutombo, you know, and Joe Johnson. And just guys that weren't fun and didn't feel Atlanta-y. And now he brings like an energy to those home games. That I watched the Sixers-Hawks game last night. That game was really fun to watch.
So, mate, back to the topic that I teased. Not so much teased as blatantly
you just told
gave
it.
away. The Doncic and Young trade was a win-win for both sides. Mate, discuss.
Yeah, this is a wiki, Nick. I'm not going full in on it because the Atlanta Hawks still could have had Luka Doncic, as could the Sacramento Kings instead of taking Marvin Bagley, and the Phoenix Suns as well instead of taking DeAndre Ayton. So The way Luka Doncic is playing now is just absolutely scintillating, and a little bit of this is a tease. He might appear in Knicks numbers a little bit later. That is how you tease, my friend. But for the Dallas Mavericks, they are going to be a playoff contender because of him and the improved recovery of Kristaps. He's still finding his way, but he's showing glimpses of his superstardom. Whereas, you know, Trae Young obviously had that ankle injury, which was a little bit disappointing, but he was absolutely bawling out before that. And he's a one-man offense that will make the Atlanta Hawks, no matter what, a top-10 offense, because he has that much gravity as a shooter. He is a transcendent passer. So, yes, I think both teams are happy with this. And, you know, for Travis Schlenk to pick up Trae Young and obviously get Cam Reddish, that's essentially what the deal was for Luka Doncic, in essence. I mean, we don't know what Cam Reddish is going to be yet. He's had some erratic moments so far, but he is a rookie. But Trae Young is an absolute stud. He's a franchise player. So I think both teams are happy with what they've got. But I think most people would rather have Luka.
For sure. I'm going in the very, very similar vein of you going Wiki, because they have both obviously gotten to the two best players in this draft. And I was high on Trae. I don't watch a lot of college ball, but I was high on Trae Young before the draft. And then to see him go, I think it was 7th or 8th, was surprising. I think it was that. I mean, again, the draft is much of a mystery to me. But before Young went down, interesting, he played 4 games so far, shooting 50% from three. And I think that is where, and that is what was touted as being his strength in college. He was a tremendous 3-point shooter, pulling up from all over the court. But his assists, he's tallying 7.3 assists a game as well. But if we're looking at those numbers in isolation, then yes, of course, like, this guy's a second year player. He's doing all of these great things. Luka is averaging more points, rebounds, assists. With obviously not shooting at the same clip that at Young, but the assists is what really struck me as a surprise. He is almost averaging a triple double on the season. Is Doncic at 9.5 assists? Okay. The only thing knocking him down. This guy's a second year player. It's sort of strange to think about if he keeps up these numbers. He will obviously be an all-star. Will he win most improved? I mean, he's upped his points 5 points per game. Like 21 points a game last year. It is hard to, you see people who take like 10 points a game jumps, you know. This guy's obviously only 5 points, but then he's increased his passing and his percentages and everything's.
You had him as an all-star.
He's most definitely an all-star. I'm just curious to see him. That's how close he was to a all-star last year, because I don't think he's quite there for most improved.
Yeah, that's fair. And, I mean, I think both parties would be happy, but for a guy who gets
actual topic, definitely both sides will be better. But Doncic is the winner in this sort of, I guess, scenario. He's a better player, I believe. It just really depends what you wanted. Trae Young Simmons mentioned it in that little clip that we played that, he doesn't believe that anyone has fit to a better city better than how Trae Young has taken up Atlanta. And Atlanta love him. And I'm sure that any Atlanta locals will be like, no, it's crazy. We love Trae Young. And that is great. If both parties feel good about the trade, then it is a win-win.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll get to a guy who Trae Young is often compared to, and that's Stephen Curry and Nick Friedell's thoughts on his broken hand.
These guys to play better defensively, but the pressure to win this year is all the way gone. And while the Warriors aren't going to say this publicly right now in the moment, this is a perfect time to tank. And it's hard to say after game 4 of the regular season, but if Steph Curry had to miss any time, Stan, it was going to be tough for this team to win without him. The fact that he's going to have to miss probably significant time with this hand injury, that tells you exactly where their plan should be moving forward. You get as high of a pick as you can. You hope for the best this summer. You have a $17 million trade exception from the Andre Iguodala deal. You decide if Russell is the guy that you want him to be moving forward. You get Klay Thompson back next season, and you hope from them that you can go and win next season. But as far as this year goes after game 4, frankly, it's over.
All right, you heard it here first there from Mr. Friedel. Stephen Curry's broken hand gives the Warriors every reason to tank.
Well, Nick, this has happened before. Joe Lacob has said that, you know, tanking isn't part of their identity, but they did it, and they've done it in the past, and they've got them Harrison Barnes. So I think that they don't even need to per se tank, quote-unquote, per se, because they're just going to have bad players out there. You know, D'Angelo Russell's been injured. Draymond Green's now injured. And tonight, they funnily enough, they beat the Portland Trailblazers. Literally, the game just finished.
Just about to mention that, yeah.
And so, I mean, the tanking isn't going that well when you're winning games. But I think, you know, it's going to be a player development year for them. They're going to see what they're going to get out of the likes of, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein, Eric Pascal, you know, Eric Smiley-Geach, and, you know, these sort of blokes, and Jordan Poole. And then, you know, they might decide to make a D'Angelo Russell trade. It's going to be a fascinating season for the Golden State Warriors. And, I mean, it's a weird and topsy-turvy world that we now have. The Phoenix Suns are a relevant team and the Golden State Warriors an irrelevant team, but I think that they will tank, but they wouldn't need to, so I guess this is a fact of sorts.
They beat the Blazers with it. I mean, and everyone who's been following basketball knows the memes of their starting five. You've got Glenn Robinson the third, Eric Pascal, Willie Cauley-Stein, Jordan Poole, and Kai Bowman.
Yeah.
Players like Spellman, Alec Burks is now playing, Damian Lee, Marquis Chris. Like, they've got a 9-player rotation in the regular season, and I've probably heard of 3 of them. it's quite crazy. Pascal put up 36 points today.
Yeah, he's been nice.
It is fascinating, and I said Kerr's gonna find a way to get production out of these guys. It just turns out that the way he was gonna find production out of these guys was forcing them to play 40 minutes.
I mean, he has to.
Like, that was the way he was gonna get. He has to. There's no one else to play.
Yeah, essentially.
It was only maybe 2 podcasts ago, maybe even last week, where we played Charles Barkley's Clay Thompson. Gave the Warriors no hope of making the playoffs.
Yep.
Obviously, Clay obviously still thought that championship window was open. I was skeptical, but I think I was definitely on Warriors are going to the playoffs boat. Not sure about. I can't remember about yourself, but I think it might have been similar.
Yep.
There is no hope now. 2-5. Good for them for beating the Blazers. This is not going to happen too often. They may very well be the worst team in the West. The Grizzlies have not started good either. But it was always Grizzlies and Suns for that worst spot. The Suns are obviously proving that they are up to the challenge.
That is true.
So I think the Warriors could be in tanking spots for the Grizzlies. I don't think that, like you said, they don't necessarily have to tank with how squished and how spread the odds are to now hit that number one pick. I'm not really sure it's necessary. They could tank all year and not get the number one pick, or they can try to play their best, maybe finish third or fourth last in the league and might get a number one pick.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I think for the culture of the team, it's better to just try and instill as much confidence into Eric Pascal, and Maybe the Mavericks will sign Pascal to a 4-year max. You know, they did the same thing with Harrison Barnes. They like to take the one season wonders from the Warriors.
We shall see.
Yeah,
but
we shall see.
To save you time from doing videos and stuff, you spoke about the Phoenix Suns. We'll quickly get into them because I think they deserve a little bit of talk. And this is via Khalil, a OTG writer. And he believes Monty Williams is an early Coach of the Year favorite.
Ooh, favorite. Maybe if you asked me that yesterday, I'd go Coach Brett Brown. Now that the Suns have just beaten the 76ers, handing them their first loss, just give me Monty Williams, 100%. Coach of the Year favorite for now. We'll see how long this lasts. But I 100% agree. This team did not change or like overly much, but they're obviously another oh sorry they did pick up Baines and Šarić in the offseason.
Baines,
mate, he is, oh, love me some Baines.
MVP.
Obviously Booker's been doing the same thing he has been doing for seasons, obviously picking up Ricky Rubio as well. it's coming to he's coming to a good team, and I think Monty Williams has the actual gravitas and the
knowledge.
I'm going to use the word here, mate. Gall.
Oh, you don't. you love gall.
No, I mean he's got the stones to do this, and he's got the skill to do this, and you're seeing a lot. You see it in the way that they play. They believe, Jack. It's strange. It is weird.
It's strange.
It's very strange to see the Phoenix Suns believe in themselves. But I mentioned that they it may have been the same team. I was obviously mistaken that. But the likes of Ricky Rubio and Baines have been tremendous signings. And I was like, I'm always a Darius Saric fan. I believe he should have won Rookie of the Year,
yep,
the year that he came in with Embiid.
Yep.
But yeah, Rubio's doing good things defensively, and Booker's the same as always done. It's just he hasn't had complete garbage around him with complete garbage coaches.
Yeah, that's
like
fair.
It is just it's good times to be a Suns fan.
That it is indeed, my friend. Who would have thought 12 months ago we'd be speaking about the Phoenix Suns as with optimism and the Golden State Warriors as tanking? Wow,
did you not say Monty Williams as a Smokey? Did you say Smokey fired or did you say Smokey Coach of the Year?
Oh, I can't remember what I did.
It might have been Smokey fired, but we'll say Coach of the Year, mate. That prediction is looking pretty good right now.
I mean, we'll have to wait and see. I'll double check that while we talk about RJ Barrett, another young stud on the rise. Has he been playing too many minutes? Let's hear what David Fizdale had to say.
You subbed RJ back in with 9 minutes to go, and he played 41 minutes total. You guys were losing by 20 at that point. He's already put on a lot. Do you worry about the stress you're putting
He's
on?
Got the day off tomorrow. We got to get off of this load management crap. That's Latrell Sprewell averaged 42 minutes for a season. Like, this kid's 19 years old. Like, drop it already.
So, obviously, good old Davey Fizzy Dale, does not believe... Fizzy Dale, that's good. Does not believe that RJ has a problem. But I pose this to you. RJ Barrett's minutes need to be limited for the Knicks.
Now, I don't believe they need to be limited, Nick, but funnily enough, the two guys that we've just spoken about, Monty Williams, I did say was a smoky to be fired. You said David Fizdale was a smoky to be fired. Your predictions are a little bit better than mine this year round, mate, so kudos to you on that one.
I told you, mate, you put in the smoky category, and I'm like, all right, I can do my crazy things. It turns out my crazy ones are actually starting to pay off. But I didn't have to. I got a spot to reserve my craziness, and for the main ones, I just took the safe picks.
Yeah, but with RJ Barrett, Nick, obviously, this was after, funnily enough, another game that I went to. RJ Barrett was playing extended minutes against the Sacramento Kings, despite the fact that they were getting blown out. And I get what David Fizdale is saying in that, like, you know, he's got his day off, he's 19 years old, you know, he's going to benefit from these minutes. But at the same time, I don't think he needs load management. I just think that it doesn't make sense for him to be out there in those times when he is your most valuable player and he could get injured. So for me, that's what I more think about. It doesn't necessarily that he needs less minutes. I think he needs less minutes in garbage time situations. Put him out there for 38 minutes if it's a close game and you know you're down by 5 or you're down by 10 and you're still within an ear's distance of snagging the win. But if you're down by 20 or 30, 25, then there is no point. I don't think he's going to get value out of those games. He might, and some people would argue that he could, but I just think that there is less value in that. And I think it makes more sense to just rest him and you know give guys like Iggy Brzdauskas, who, by the way, got like the loudest cheer of the night at MSG. So that's the state that the Knicks are in right now, which is actually quite fun. And they were chanting, out, "We want Melo." I kid you not, they were chanting out, "We want Melo." And I woke up to notifications galore from all Knicks fans saying, "I want this. Let's make it happen." I'm like, we've really got to this point after 6-7 games of the season. But, Nick, what are your thoughts on RJ Barrett's minutes?
Oh, my. I love the New York people. They are they're a funny bunch. Good for them. I think the question was phrased a little bit weird because it was saying that, like, weren't you worried about the stress that this is going to put on the young player? And I think Fizdale's response was very apt. Like, because it was always going to progress into a question about load management. Of like, the kid's 19 years old, let him play. But to your point, the question shouldn't have been, aren't you concerned about putting your star players out there in garbage time? Don't worry about the risk of fatigue the next day, like, because he's got the day off, blah, blah, blah. It's the in-game injury. He rolls an ankle in those last 8 minutes, and you don't have a job, Mr. Davey Fizz. Mr. Fizzy Dale.
Do you know who's going to get... Yes, Nick, we get it. It's a horrible nickname. Stop trying to make it happen.
It's got to work. Do you actually think it's got to stick.
Well, I guess we'll revisit that prediction. Do you think he's going to get fired?
Oh, I mean, 1-6. It's not starting well for them. Obviously, they've got a bit of hope with RJ. But I think the Knicks were never supposed to be good. So if you're like a professional pundit, I guess you're not firing Fizdale. But the New York media are very cruel beasts. Be like, why haven't we gotten better? It's like, because your organization sucks. But they're not going to believe that.
8 million power forwards.
I mean, yeah.
And from a visual standpoint, watching them play basketball, they don't run anything. Like, if most coaches have, like, certain sets, partly it's, I guess, due to the cattle that's available. You know, Dennis Smith Jr. is obviously, and their point guard situation leaves a lot to be desired, and they just have 8 million power forwards. But, you know, the decision for me last night when he decided to bench Mitchell Robinson and start Bobby Portis at center next to Julius Randle, two guys who essentially have the exact same skill set, it was a befuddling one to me. But Davey Fizz, Fizzy Dale, whatever the hell you want to call him, Nick, he's certainly on the seat. That is certainly warming up for him, despite the fact that it is getting colder here in New York City. But Nick, you don't have to do a video for this one, but the Blazers need to make a trade to bolster their front court.
Oh boy. And I think the via an OTG poll,
I did this
the
one.
Was it you? Okay, via the OTG actual Twitter page. Give them a follow at OTG Basketball. The question that was posed, who should the Portland Trail Blazers target in a trade? And 65%, who I actually voted for. I actually voted for this one. 64%, 65% going for Kevin Love over the likes of Danilo Gallinari.
Who'd you vote for?
I voted for Kevin Love. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm
I've
got a bit more love for Love.
I voted for Gallo, and we'll speak, I guess, more about these guys, but I think they do need to make a trade, because the Portland Trailblazers, they got a taste of it, you know, making the Western Conference Finals last year. It is an open conference now. The injuries to guys in their front court, they're starting Anthony Tolliver right now. Scalabissier is playing a lot of minutes. Zach Collins is going to be out for an extended period of time after having shoulder surgery. So the guys that I put in the poll, Kevin Love, Danilo Gallinari, make a lot of sense. The reason why I voted for Danilo Gallinari, Nick, is because he is going to be a much cheaper asset. He is on a 1 year, or his deal is expiring. If you're trading for him with the Oklahoma City Thunder, I'd probably just say like a first rounder and maybe Hassan Whiteside or whatever would probably get the job done. So for me, it just makes more sense. I think Danilo Gallinari as well had a tremendous year for the Clippers last year, was on the verge of All-NBA. I think Kevin Love would be a better star fit. He's also had an awesome start to this season. I think he's second in rebounding, if I'm not mistaken, and he's, you know, back to sort of almost Minnesota Kevin Love days, except he's looking a lot more cut and fit. But that contract is a lot more lofty. I think it's like 4 years, $120 million still to go on that one. So it depends on, you have to take into account, Kevin Love is also from Portland. He is a Portland native, so maybe the hometown thing would probably also, you know, garner some extra attention and would be a nice little story. But that's the reason why I went for Gallo, just because of the asset outside of just what he does on the court.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you in that perspective. Like you said, Kevin Love has started the season quite well. I think Blazers' depth, and this always comes down to a picture of depth when we pose these questions, especially at the power forward spot. Zach Collins is out at the moment, and it really shows. Obviously, you're not really pinning all of your hopes for the Blazers on Zach Collins, but that is still a significant out given their depth at that position. So need to make a trade to bolster their front court. I'd say fact, but again, like on my knowledge and I guess I haven't done enough research in the trade machine to know what is out there and what they can actually trade for them. But they don't want to trade away. I mean, what point do you trade away everything that you have? Because now is their win now, obviously, with McCollum and Lillard. Are you more into that, Jack? Like, are you saying, like, if they give up more than what they can get, it's better because they'd be better short term?
Yeah, I think you take it all into account, Nick. I think it's just this season there is a real opportunity for them to take a step forward and possibly make the NBA finals. You know, they're on the precipice, and they have obviously one of the best backcourts in the league. Damian Lillard's an absolute stud, and you need to strike while the iron is hot. I think the Houston Rockets are an example of that. You know, they were that close to it, and then it was a few missed threes, a Chris Paul injury away from, you know, and obviously a Kevin Durant injury as well, from making the finals and probably winning it all. You know, I'm not saying the Portland Trailblazers are there right now. They obviously lost to the Golden State Warriors, but injuries matter so much for them. So I think that they do need to make a trade, and there'll probably be some other guys around the market as well. You know, you could probably get a Marcus Morris or someone for a little bit cheaper, but they need to add an extra body because the Zach Collins injury does hurt them. It does hurt their rotation.
Yeah, for sure. Shall we move on to what, obviously, one of my favorite segments, in Wizards Woes? And mate, you just hang tight while this music plays.
The Washington Wizards will make a noise.
I drank some bleach all the way down to the blue, and now I'm starting to feel like Harry Potter.
It's just not the same without you next to me, Jackie boy. It is not
so
the same.
We can't
vibe
the
about drinking bleach. It's just not the same.
Feel like Harry Potter.
Isaiah Thomas should start the rest of the season for the Wizards. God
no
damn, this is where we're at, Jackie boy.
How did he go tonight, Nick?
Excellent question, because today was the Melbourne Cup. I was not able to actually watch any basketball today. So let's have a look-see, shall we?
So you care more about horses than basketball?
Oh, I mean, I wasn't watching, but I had to. Like, I was. It's like you're un Australian if you don't watch it. So I watched race 7, and that was it because I don't give a crap. I actually watched, because our game was already over by that point, I watched some of the Philly game, and the Suns were just super impressive there. Isaiah Thomas in 24 minutes had 9 points, was a negative 6. 4 of 12 from the field, so this is not boding well for him. But what's his competition, Jack? Ish Smith. 20 minutes, 6 points, 3 of 9 from the field. So, yeah, it's a much of a muchness. Do I believe he has to start? My honest answer to this is it doesn't make a fucking difference. Not a shred of difference. This was a particularly poor game for Ish Smith, and I'm not sure that he's actually lighting it up on the stats at all. But it's more of a visual inspection of him, and it hasn't been bad.
They're both very similar players.
Yeah, I mean, one's just taller.
They're both quite short though. Like Ish Smith
is
quite short
sure,
as well.
But we're talking Isaiah. This is next level shortness.
Yes, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's a much of a muchness. He'd obviously be taking over Ish Smith if he did start. And I don't know. I think I'd probably prefer Ish Smith playing because he's a bit more of a selfless player than Isaiah Thomas. I think Isaiah Thomas can heave just a few too many shots.
Yep.
Whereas I want players like Hachimura and Schofield to be very much involved in play, and for their development to really shine through. So whatever combination of Isaiah Thomas and Ish Smith, I mean, I don't care so long as we get the ball into these young players' hands. Rui has looked super, super impressive so far. Pretty limited minutes. I'm not entirely sure what the story there is. He only played 16 today.
Scott Brooks is a bad coach.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm giving him too much, thinking that there's something behind it. But yeah, Rui hasn't really been given many much minutes, and he's been balling the minutes he has been.
Yeah.
But this is about Isaiah Thomas, and I honestly, I can't put this on the scale because there isn't a I don't give a fuck.
Wow. It is a unprecedented, ever since the BMS scale, the Busy Mama scale, has been invented. We have always put something on the scale or have just forgotten. But Nick has literally, he has gone against the system. Wowee. Well, if you're not going to do it, then I'm not going to do it.
And I mean, do you really think it makes much of a difference?
No, it doesn't. No,
that's
it doesn't.
What I mean. Like, these guys would be second string at best on any team.
Yeah.
At best, oh boy. I mean, Ish Smith was playing for years behind Reggie Jackson. Oh, God, yeah. It hurts to be Jack. It hurts to be Jack.
Well, all right. We know it hurts you, but what up?
Sorry, mate. We're out of sync here. You go.
I was just excited to hear the new music for Nick's numbers.
Oh, people can come up with statistics to prove anything. 40% of all people know that.
With his 42nd triple-double, Russell Westbrook has broken the single-season record
for NBA history. You got it! 14 threes in a day!
I better crunch the numbers.
Yes, some brand-new music for you lovely people on the interwebs. This is Nick's Numbers. New segment. I mean, we did it last week, but now it's got brand new music, so it's a new segment. We bring up some important stats. And recently, the Mavs played the Los Angeles Lakers in an absolute thriller. And some good stats came out of there from the one and only Donk. The Don. His Don is good. Luka Doncic, the first player in NBA history to record at least 29 points, 15 assists, 13 rebounds in back-to-back games. Not only that, it became the youngest in NBA history to record record consecutive 25 points triple-doubles, and was the second player in Dallas Mavericks history to get back-to-back 15 assists games, obviously taking that one with Jason Kidd. Very elite company there. There was a stat that I think it might have been a 25-15-10 game.
Mm.
So he was the youngest player to ever get a 25-15-10 game, and LeBron James was the oldest player to get in the same game. So it's that massive generational gap, and obviously there's been a lot of talk about that on the social medias about their love and appreciation for each other, and how amazing it would have been to play next to his idol. And for sure, that would be very exciting. So well done, Luka Doncic. There, many many records to be broken in the future for this young lad.
You're my idol, Nick.
Oh, that's cute. That is cute. And with that, I must say that you sickened me, and I need to leave. So that just about
happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Jackie boy. Happy birthday. It just about does it for another week. So I'd like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Except Spotify. Do us a solid and leave us a rating and review as well. Helps us out a bunch. Remember, it's you guys that make the show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep ballin', superstars. Come on.